And we'll say it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning and appreciate His goodness toward us and how wonderful it is for us to be here today. And as you can tell, those that may not have known, maybe you hadn't been able to be with us, we had to move our communion service from our night service. We did this last year also. And we found it to be a great blessing. This time it wasn't that we planned on it, but we did it. And we're having our communion and foot washing this morning. And I'm thankful for it because it allows some that are not able to come at night, some that are not able to be here, to be a part of this. And I think that it's something that all of us should partake in. I believe that the Scripture teaches us that we should. And then I do also believe that in the ordinances of the church, that it teaches us that if we're believers and we're members of this body, that we should take of this service. And certainly we're thankful for it. And I'm a little bit different today than I have been in years gone by. It seemed like every communion that I've ever been in, I wake up with a deep sadness on my heart. Thinking about it, there's certainly a sadness to it, to remember what the Lord has done for us. But today I didn't wake up with sadness. I didn't wake up with a deep sadness or a darkness overshadowing me because it was communion. But I woke up with a joy in my heart and an excitement to get to the house of the Lord. And I'm just being honest with you. I've been many a times in these services, and I've always seemed like had a little bit of a sadness to it, but today I have joy. You say, well, what's different? I don't know if it's because I've been in revival all week or exactly what it is. You may say, well, that's the reason. That's the reason you're so excited. Maybe you'll come down a little while, but I'm hoping I don't. I don't want to come back down. I want to stay up where I'm at right now and where the Lord's got me to. And then not only that, I hope I can get on even higher ground. That's where I want to get to. That's where I want to get to. The Lord helping me, and I hope that He will. I know that He will. As a matter of fact, let me just take that back. I'm not going to say I hope that the Lord. I know He'll help me, and I know I can get higher than what I am right now. I know I can get closer than what I am right now because the Scripture teaches us that. I told them this week that the same thing that I've been saying at several revivals, and a lot of times we're so far off, I know you don't get to come and get to hear this, so I'll share it with you. I do carry revival with me everywhere I go. Somebody said, well, the preacher can't bring revival. I don't altogether agree with that anymore. I used to say that, but I don't agree with that. I carry my Bible with me, and so if I've got my Bible with me, I've got revival. Why? Because in it, it gives us the recipe for revival. The Lord's told us in His Word that if we had drawn nigh to God, that He had drawn nigh to us. There's revival right there, just in a very small frame of the Word of God. And so if you want to get close to God, you just draw nigh to Him. And if you want to stay where you're at, then you won't get any closer to Him. You'll be just where you're at. But everybody has the right and the opportunity today to get as close to God as you want to get to. It's just whether or not you want to or not. You're going to have to get your wants in the right place. And that's what we talked about in Sunday school this morning there in my Sunday school class. We're over in the book of Galatians, and as you know, we've been studying the book of Acts, and we're going through the New Testament chronologically. So we got to the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, and we picked up where Paul was writing this letter to the church at Galatia, and he's telling them about the acts of the flesh and how that those acts of the flesh continue even though that you've been saved, that you've been redeemed, and a lot of people. But what we have to do is we have to crucify those acts, we have to mortify those acts, and we have to get those things under subjection, which is a picture of what we're doing today. This is a symbol that God has left the church that we should not only remember His death, but that we ought to remember it daily in our lives so that we also die out to the love and practice of sin. There is a carnal man that you still walk with, and the Bible said that the carnal mind is an enmity, not enemy, but enmity. It's a strife. It's a something that goes against the ways of God. And it said it's not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can it be. So what we have to do is we have to kill that part of ourselves daily so we can walk in the Spirit of God. And you can walk in it today, because if it wasn't possible, then none of us would ever be saved. And I'm thankful that it is possible to walk in the Spirit of God. It's good to be here this morning, and I appreciate you. I don't have the scripture mark that's on my heart because the Lord gave it to me just a few minutes ago. What I have marked is something that I thought I was going to preach on, but I don't have it marked. I know it's in the Gospels, and I know speaking, but I'm gonna try my best to give it to you the best I can, and I won't quote it because I'll misquote every bit of it. But anyway, in the scriptures, you'll find where that they came to the Lord and they began to ask Him questions. As a matter of fact, the whole chapter that I'm thinking of, and I just hadn't had a second to even look it up, and I'm not even gonna try. But the whole chapter, there's three different times where that they questioned the Lord. They questioned Him on several different things, but the one that I'm interested in, and the one that the Lord has laid on my heart, I don't know how it goes along with communion, but I ain't worried about it. This is what I got. This is what I'm going to have to give you. And I hadn't thought about it, hadn't rehearsed any bit of it or anything, because again, the Lord just give it to me. So I'm going to give it to you this morning, what the Lord has given unto me today. And I want you to think about it with us for just a few minutes. One of the questions that they asked after that the Lord was there before them is, they said, well, then who is our neighbor? Who is our neighbor? And the Lord began to expound upon them a story about a man that was left Jerusalem and headed down unto Jericho, right? And the Bible said that as he left Jerusalem and headed down to Jericho, that he fell among some thieves, and they took everything that he had. And not only did they steal from him, but they unclothed him and I believe they beat him, if I remember correctly, and left him for dead there in the ditch on the side of the road. That's what happened to this man there. He was in the ditch, and he was left for dead in the ditch. And the Bible said that there was a certain religious man that came by. Maybe a Levite, I can't remember exactly how that came by, and walked across the other side of the road because he could not help him. And then another religious man came by and looked upon the man's place in life and where he was at. And he also walked by on the other side of the road. But then there was a fellow by a Samaritan that came by the same route. And we know, according to what Jesus said, to the woman at the well and what she said to him, that that the Jews and the Samaritans didn't have no dealings with one another. That they didn't look upon each other's needs and they didn't help one another. Jesus had that conversation with the woman at the well. So we know, according to what we read, this man that was in the ditch must have been a Jew. And here come this Samaritan. And he must have been a saved man. Brother, the Bible said that he got down off of his beast and he began to help this fellow. And he poured into his wounds oil and wine and bandaged him together and put him on his own beast and carried him into the inn. I paid for his treatment there and said, when I come back, if he owes anything else, I'll take care of that too. They said, who then is our neighbor? And he expounded that scripture upon them. And he said, so which one of them do you think was neighbor unto this man? Amen. And the fellow that had done the good deed and had helped the man that was down in the ditch, that was who his neighbor was. What is the first and greatest commandment? They asked just prior to this question. today. Amen. That's right. Brother, listen. We know. Preacher, how's that communion? I don't know, but you'll get what you get. Brother, I'm going to give you what I got. Brother, you listen. I'm going to tell you how it is. Communion, because of the body and the blood and the death of Jesus Christ, He has put within us the love, brother, that we should have. Christian, and show up your bowels of mercy, brother, then who is your neighbor today? Amen. Who have you looked to? Who have you extended to? Brother, who is it that's neighbor to you? The Bible said, what profit is it? Brother, if you love them that love you, why, even the scribes and the Pharisees do so. Brother, if all we ever do is like people that like us and love people that love us and are not the people that lie and are not the us, then how can the world tell a difference between us and the scribes who Jesus said were hypocrites and serpents and vipers today? Why, even dogs take care of dogs in the same pack. Huh? Yeah. Even animals take care of those that are in their same groups. But God's people today. You say, preacher, I would to God you'd have just talked about the body and the bread and the blood of the Jews. I'm talking about it. And brother, it's high time that we got past about our differences and look to help those who are neighbor unto us today. Amen. Selfishness. Selfishness. Every church that I go to, brother, I see what's happening in our churches and our little small congregations, and they're getting smaller and they're getting smaller. And this is what I hear people say, Christian people say, well, the world's got so much to offer nowadays, people don't want to come. And you know what? I'm going to say this. Let's get that excuse out of our vocabulary. You know what the problem is? Is they see the same love and peace, and they see the same happiness in people of the world as they do people of the church. But God's called us out to be separate. He gave us His body and His blood to be different. And but He called us out that we might today live a higher standard of life than the others do. So that whenever they see our good works, they'll glorify our Father which is in heaven. Amen. And brother, listen. I wonder why people don't want to go to church. It's because they see you going through some struggle and you give up and you quit and you don't have nothing to hold on to. And brother, why would they want what you got? Amen. We got to be strong. That's what Moses told. He told Joshua, he said, I'm a dying. And old Joshua began to get discouraged. And the Lord come to him and said, only be of strong courage. Brother, listen, and of good faith. He said, as I was with Moses. How was he with Moses? He was with Moses on the backside of the desert when he was a voice speaking out of a burning bush. That was burning with fire but was not consumed. He was with Moses whenever he fought those men there at the well. When he helped those little girls get there. Watered. He was with Moses. When he come down off of the mountain, he was with Moses. When they went across the Red Sea, he was with Moses in the last hour of his life. And God said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Hey, listen, God ain't changed. He's still with us today. We need to act like it, thank God. Amen. Act like it. How do we act like it? Not religiously, For that's who Jesus was against. The religious people. And boy, we've got so many religious relics in our churches that we're more consumed with the religious relics than we are those that are dead in trespasses and sins. And God has called us to be light and salt in this present world in which we live in. I told them this week, there in revival, I don't know why it come out, but I told them, having burned the Bible, sit over it, how the writings of Paul unto Timothy. He told Timothy, he said, you study to show yourself approved unto God. And I said, every one of y'all are going to say, yeah, that's to the preachers. They better be studying. And I said, no, what if somebody questions you on your belief? And brother, you don't even know what the Bible says because you ain't ever even read it. That's what I said this week at revival. And but we got people in our churches have been saved for 30 years and have never read that Bible one time through. And but you say, well, preacher, how's that going to help me? It's the very voice of God. And if it don't mean more to us than just a coaster on our coffee table, then you ought to quit and not ever come back tonight. Hey, man, that's right. Say, preacher, I don't know if I'd preach that with numbers down. I'm a preacher it because it's the truth. It's the truth. People don't want to serve God and live for God and do for God. They're happy with everybody else doing it and them just getting the fringe benefits. Amen. Hey, man, that's right. That's exactly right. I want to tell you, make up your mind this morning how to be what God has called you to be, which is neighbor unto a lost and a dying world. Get down off of your high horse and brother, get down in the ditch, not to stay in the ditch with them. That fella didn't get down there to drink with him and to smoke with him and to put out all kinds of nasty drugs with him, but he got down in that ditch to help him get out of the ditch. Amen. We're to be a help to somebody. Brother, not to their ways of this life, but we're to be a help to somebody. Amen. To get out of the ditch, thank God. Amen. What if somebody wouldn't have got down off their high horse for you? What if Mountain View wouldn't have been Mountain View when you was lost? I want you to think about it. Your own individual self. What if those old timers that's gone on to be with the Lord that every one of you can think of Mountain View Baptist Church that held on and did the praying and the preaching and all the other things in the church. What would happen if they too got upset and got down and out and began to start slipping off a little bit? Hey, listen, Paul said, oh, ye foolish Galatians who have bewitched you to believe a lie. He said, did I not present the gospel of truth unto you? He said, live therefore of gospel today. Amen. That's what God's called us to do. Paul said, I'm not only ready to go and die for the gospel, he said, or I'm not only ready to go and preach the gospel, he said, I'm also ready to go and die for it. Are you ready to die for it? What was it, the 20th or 20th year, I think it was, 25th year, something like that, of Columbine this year. And I read that story of that little girl. She Said Yes is the name of the book, I think. I read her story, how that she was in witchcraft, and she was in all kinds of nastiness of this world. And prior to Columbine happening, they'd had a youth, some kind of something, and she got saved. She hadn't been saved long, and them fellas come in with them guns into that schoolhouse, and they found her. And they said, we've heard how you said you was a Christian. Let's see if you are. And they put her up on her knees, Brother Mike, and held a gun right between her eyes and said, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And she said, yes. Amen. What would happen if that happened to you? I'm going to tell you something. If you ain't walking in the spirit and crucifying the flesh and getting rid of the deeds done in this body and getting all them obstacles, and it don't happen overnight, that's a continual daily thing that you got to do. That Amen. You can. You know why people don't... Listen, the story I give you is just like people today. The Bible said that that fellow left Jerusalem and headed down to Jericho. Huh? What happened to him when he left Jerusalem? The same thing that'll happen to you if you leave out of the church. Did you know that Jerusalem is higher than everything else around that area? Jerusalem is at a higher point. And so anytime you left Jerusalem, at any point of Jerusalem, it didn't matter if you went out the east gate, the west gate, the south gate, or the north gate, every time you left out of Jerusalem, no matter what gate you left out, do you know where you headed? Down. Down. And anytime you leave the walks of this life and you don't live according to the gospel of Christ, every step away from that is a step downward. Jonah didn't want to hear what God wanted him to do, and so he went down to Nineveh. Yes, sir. And the Bible said that whenever he got down to Nineveh, that he paid his fare and went down into the ship. And Barry being down in the ship wasn't far enough, and so they got rid of him and cast him over in the sea, and he went down in the belly of the whale. Every step away from God is a step downward today. But every step to him is a step upward. Amen. Woo! That's right. That's why you need to draw nigh to him. That's why you need to get close to him. If there's anything between you and God, you need to get it out today. That's why we remember what he did at Calvary for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Amen and amen. Who is neighbor among you? Who is neighbor among you? I ask you again, who is neighbor among you today? You'll have to answer that question for self. They come get a verse of some song. That's as far as I can go. We're going to give altar call. And then when we get done with that, we'll go into the communion. But I feel like giving an altar call right now. And I want you to be honest and obedient. You used to be closer to God. But now you're closer to your job. And your job has become your God. You spend more time on it than you do God. You can't even come on Wednesday night or Sunday night and give God just a few hours out of the week. But or you'll go 40-something hours or 60-something hours a week to your job. Well, preacher, we got to work. I'm not saying don't work. I'm just saying give more to God. Hey, man. Hey, man. And it ain't just Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night that you ought to give more to God. You ought to give it to him on Monday. On Monday, are you neighbor? On Tuesday, are you neighborly? On Wednesday, are you neighborly? I know some of you is a little bit upset. Maybe you didn't like this. That's okay. I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to help you this morning. When you called me to be your pastor, you called me to come up here and pastor, and that's what I'm trying to do. And I'm trying to help you with everything that is in this Word of God this morning. And I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. I'm going to be honest with you. The last couple of weeks, I have been a little bit down, but I've tried to put on a happy face. I can't tell you no different. But this week at Revival, I got revived. And I said, Lord, if the Sunday school goes down to 5, let me preach. Hey, man. I said, Lord, if it ain't but just me and my kids, let me get excited about Jesus. And let me preach the Word of God. Because the Word of God still stands true. And what we need this morning is the Word of God evident in our life. He said that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If you got faith this morning, it ought to move you this morning. It ought to move you to be neighborly. And all of us go through ebb and flows. I understand. But when God sends the message, He expects you to start ebbing back upwards instead of continuing downward. I've been here, October will be 5 years. And listen, I love you. Everyone, you know I do. I've told you, I pray for you by name every morning. Bondi, I pray for y'all every morning. I got you on my prayer list. All my preacher brethren and their family, I got to pray for you every morning. Every morning. I love you. I wouldn't do nothing to hurt you. I want to help you. And I've been here 5 years, and there's some of you never, ever been to the altar and prayed. Never, the whole time I've been here. I'm persuaded to believe that those same people that have never been to altar since I've been here didn't go to the altar with the preacher before me. And I'm persuaded to believe it's probably been years and years and years that some of you have got to the altar and said, God, forgive me. I just want to live for you today. I'm persuaded to believe that. So what can happen, preacher? Amazing things. Amazing things can happen. Maybe you've grown cold and indifferent just the past few months. Maybe just over the last year you've gotten into a cold state. Today is the day that the Lord has made. You know why you can't rejoice? Because you're in a dark state. But if you'll get right with God, you can rejoice and be glad in this day. Amen. David got so excited. I can't help it. I'm going to have to share this. Let's keep on playing. I'll get there in a minute. Oh, David got so excited when they said, we found the ark. It's down there in Obed-Edom. And he said, what's going on down there? He said, Obed-Edom's getting blessed on the right hand and the left. He said, go get the ark. And they went to get the ark. And before they could even get it where it needed to be, David started dancing. Yeah. And he was excited about the presence of God in his life. Amen. What about it? What about it this morning? When's the last time you got excited about the Lord? When's the last time you say, well, preacher, I don't get real excited. I don't get real. You don't have to be flamboyant. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having a desire. Having a desire to be faithful and to do what God wants you to do. Is there ever a time in your life where you was closer? You should have already been coming up this morning. Should have already been coming up. We're going to stand and sing. What's your number, Brother Evan? 527. We're going to stand and sing. But if God has spoken to you this morning, I wouldn't even get a book. I'd just come on down. I'd just come on down and pray. Say, Lord, I don't know exactly what it is. I can't remember all that I've done wrong, but I know you know. And I just want you to know I'm sorry for it. Hey man, I just want to get right with you. I just want to draw close to you this morning. Before I go to take of this communion, before I go to remember what you've done for me, I want to remember it in my life first and foremost. And I want to get some things made right with you. Lord, I want to leave out of here in a better shape than what I come. I don't want to continue in this dark way. I want to be happy to go to church. I don't want it to be a burden. I want to be excited about what God's doing in my life and what He's going to do at Mountain View Baptist Church. I want to feel like this is the best church in the whole wide world. I want that today, God. You can have that if you'll pray. If you'll pray, what about it? Come on right now as we sing. Go ahead, Brother Evan. Thank you for being so patient. Amen. Bless them, Lord. Yeah, that's good. Amen. That's good. Draw from. Yeah. yourself. Before they sing another verse, I love that verse and I love that chorus. When you plunge beneath that blood, you lose all of that guiltiness. I read to him this morning where that Paul said there in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1, he said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Which means that if you're walking after the flesh, there's still condemnation. There's still condemnation if you're walking in a... There's still a guilty feeling, even if you're saved, because doing wrong will always bring condemnation. But he said, but if you walk in the Spirit, there's now no condemnation. Amen. If you feel condemned today or you feel guilty, it's because you are. That's just how simple it is. So what can I do about it, preacher? You can come up and make things right. Well, I'll wait till I get home and get that squared away. Hey, it might not be there when you get home. The offer and the invitation may be removed, and you may not have the opportunity when you get home. I get things straight now. Well, preacher, I do feel a little condemnation, but I just don't feel like praying. Hey, listen, you ain't got to feel like praying the prayer. I wake up every morning, and this week I got about 3 to 4 hours of sleep at night, and I don't feel like waking up at 5 o'clock and praying, but I did anyhow. Why? Because that's what God told me to do. What about it? I'm going to even get a little bit closer. Because all we got is women that want to get closer to the Lord. Some of you men, yeah, I call it out. When we walk out of here, you can tell me if you don't like me, that's okay, because I love you. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. All we got is some women that want to get closer this morning. Is that it? Huh? And you fellas want to step up and say, you know what? I may not really be doing anything wrong, but I ain't felt it like I once did. I just want to get closer. Any of you here this morning? Is there anybody here lost? Hey, you get saved today. But it's communion and foot washing. It don't matter what it is. Hey, man, if the Spirit of God is moving upon you, you do what you're supposed to do. And I guarantee you'll leave in a better shape once you come. Yeah. What'll happen? What did it say, Brother Evan? You'll lose all your guilty stains. Amen. Well, I appreciate Brother Evan. Sometimes he picks some song. I'm about to shout. Amen. I appreciate his faithfulness. I do. Getting them songs ready. Boy, that song right there is one of my favorites. I love it. What about it this morning? I don't know where you at, but I can tell you this. You ain't got to stay there. Maybe you just got in a fog since yesterday. It was the same day that that boy left Jerusalem and fell among thieves. The same day. Hey, it don't take long to take a step away from God. But listen, it don't take long to take a step toward Him either. Amen. Amen. What about it this morning? One more verse. You come on right now. Come on. Come on. Thank you. that last verse. But I will say this, and then we're going to sing that last verse. There was a fella that said some pretty harsh things about me. And he was a dear preacher friend of mine. Close to my family before I was ever even born. Closer still after I started preaching. Then just a few years after I started, he started talking about me to others, saying things about me. And I saw him out with some of my family. Saw him out. And I just treated him like I always had. Hey, brother so-and-so. Hey, how's your family? Y'all doing okay? When you gonna come see us at church? When you gonna come visit us? We got back in the car with some of the family, and some of my family said, "What'd you do that for? You don't know what he said about you? What was you nice to him for?" I said, "Well, why wouldn't I be? What's it matter?" I can't say I've always acted like that, but in that circumstance, that's what I did that day. I said, "Well, why wouldn't I be nice to him? What he has said is not true, so what does it matter? The truth will always stand," so I wasn't worried about what he said. I knew it'd come out in the wash. Some even questioned me on it. You know what? I got no problem with that. I'll tell you exactly. We may not all agree on every little thing, but we are serving the same God. And if you've been born again, you've been washed with the same blood that I've been washed with. And you know what that makes me and you? Brothers and sisters. No matter what happens between us, it don't change the fact, Susan, that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. It don't matter. It don't matter. What matters is whether or not today you do something with what God has sent your way. You say, "Preacher, I just wasn't raised that way. I wasn't raised to do this." Hey, listen, I just want you to come. You say, "Well, I don't even know what to do." Don't worry about that. God will take care of all that. I didn't know what to do either when I was just a little 7-year-old boy, but when I got down there, whatever I did worked. And if I was you this morning, I wouldn't wait any longer. God wants you to come. He loves you with all of His heart. He died on the cross, gave His body and His blood for you to be free from sin this morning. What about it as we sing this last verse of this wonderful song? Won't you come right now? Go ahead, Brother Ed. If anybody has anything on your heart or your mind that you need to say or do before we go any further in the service.